Blog Talk Radio.
Living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find a white lover, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. Ooh, we can walk it out. Ooh, I'm glad. No,
well, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. Yes, it is time to rise up one more time, no matter what you are going through.
Uh-oh. Hello? What happened?
Well, I just got bumped off, but I got bumped right back on. So let's just keep going. I've already said my howdy duties, and time is very, very precious. Hopefully you folks get this. Take it in more than one way, not just precious for this show, but because of the fact that you got an opportunity to rise one more day. I want to give credit to Andra Day, who sings this beautiful song, and we have two questions for Dr. Clark this morning, but first let's pay our respects and say howdy doody, top of the morning to you, Dr. Clark.
Good morning, everyone, and as Dr. Brown has already said, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what part of this wonderful world that we live in you might be joining us from. It's good to be back with you again today in a stationary location to continue our conversation. So what do we have today, Dr. Brown?
Well, again, two questions for you. The first one probably a little bit easier and more entertaining, and the second one will dig a little bit deeper. So the first question was, who picked Andra Day to sing, and Andra Day, and why was this particular song chosen?
Okay. So that's pretty easy. I chose that particular song, and the reason why I chose that song, was because when you look at the lyrics of that song, it's talking about rising from challenges, right? And so because we know that grief is such a challenging event that we go through, and some of the words in there talk about, for me, it was kind of like a metaphor to how grief makes you feel sometimes, right? You're broken down and you're tired of living life on a merry-go-round. So when we're going through all these different stages, it's a merry-go-round. It's not a linear process by any stretch of the, by any means, right? We're going up and down. We can't find the fighter, but I see it in you, so we're going to walk it out. So we know that it's in there. We know that the potential to grow, we know that the potential to be a different and better person is there. So now let's do the work so that we can walk it out and work through these stages. Let's and move them out, and let's walk it out, and let's rise up. Let's rise like every day, like the sun rises and the sun sets, and do it unafraid, right, and being unapologetic for the experience that you're having, because you're growing through it, right? And we're going to do it 1,000 times again. We're going to do this process as many times as we need to do this process so that we can become whole, that we can become stronger, that we can become transformed, so that we can be better people and live with intention in the end of this process. And more of the words say, in spite of the ache, I'll rise up and I'll do it over and over again. And it says, for you, for you, for you. Now, we want to do it for those that we love, right? Because we're living a life of intention and purpose to honor the lock. And so for you, I'm going to make myself right. For you, I'm going to walk this thing out. For you, I'm going to learn how to be in a different way, right? So when silence is in quiet, and when it feels like it's getting hard to breathe, then I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet and move the mountains and bring it to its feet. So that's why I chose the lyrics to speak so much of the journey that we go through during this grief process.
See, something we didn't know. A little bit more respect for Andra Day was that she was the young lady who starred in portraying Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
Billie Holiday was a very interesting young lady who grew up with a lot of abuses, pains, and you could hear some of the pain that she had in her songs. But her pain and her grief, in my opinion, was not centered around just herself. And she was manipulated and taken advantage of, especially on the tours with the band. I mean, my God, and the deals that she had to make. That doesn't make her any less of a woman. I think anything, it makes her more of a woman to go through what she had gone through. But the sad part, I grieve for her today in a very special way, was because when she was on her deathbed, the authorities had the gall to serve a subpoena on her deathbed. Give me a break. I mean, if anybody can picture what I just said, they served her with her subpoena while she was on her deathbed, knowing that she wouldn't even make it to court, okay? What does this mean? When she transitions into everlasting life with the Lord, she's going to be shackled still? I don't think so, but we was living in a very, very challenging time, not to diminish what we're going through today. So being able to rise today, sometimes it's important to be able to make a stand, as she did through her song. And one particular song I'm going to just remind you folks, because I won't be playing it, is something about Southern trees bear strange fruit. And we ain't talking about fruit. We're not talking about fruity people. I think people might want to just take a look at what that song was indicating and talking about. Very, very powerful young lady. And we just wanted to give her her props. And the young lady, Andra Day, who has been singing this theme song. And now we have a little bit of anchor of understanding what, why, what the purpose is. Which goes into the last question, Dr. Clark, for today, is courage. Yeah, courage. Because unfortunately, when people go through a whole lot of stuff and it becomes so painful, you don't really want to get up no more. You don't want to fight that battle anymore. Some kind of way you're going to have to find that courage, because there may be people who depend on you, or you need to depend on yourself just in case you happen to wake up the next day and got to feed yourself or have a roof. You got to pursue and persevere and have the courage, knowing that you're going to face something. How about that grief or pain that just happens to pop up, or knowing that you're already getting up going through it because it didn't go away? I think you see where I'm going. Can you talk a little bit about the courage, even to wind up going to a therapeutic group to address your issues, Dr. Clark?
That's a good question, right? Courage. What do we think courage is? You know, let's look at how we define courage, because everything is a matter of perspective, right? So when we look at just courage, we have a definition from Oxford Dictionary that says courage is the ability to do something that frightens one person, right? Or strength in the face of pain or grief. And so when we are looking for courage, sometimes it's not going to come right away. Remember when we're going through this process, initially, most oftentimes, it hits us like a Mack truck. We're not looking for courage. We're not looking for a shoulder to cry on. We just know that something's going on. Allow yourself to just kind of be in that space for a minute and then kind of think about what it is that I need to pull me up out of this, right? So courage is finding the help when you know that you need it. Courage is finding that reason to go on. And most oftentimes, well, all the time, nothing that we do is just for us. We might think that it is. We might be single. We just have us. We're paying our own bills. We're living our own lives. But we're part of a package because connected to us, maybe parents, connected to us, our aunts and uncles, connected to us, our cousins, connected to us, our friends. And so sometimes we have to find the courage for ourselves based on having courage for those who we impact and those who are in our lives. And sometimes that place is hard to find when we are so deeply entrenched in the pain that we're going through. And so when our minds are cloudy, we can't focus on that. But I offer that taking just a little time to think about those positive experiences that you've had in life to try to feel the sense of hope so that you can find the courage to fight, because courage is not something that we can gain just in and of ourselves. It might take a little help getting ourselves to that place. And courage, finding courage, building courage is also a process. Everything in life is a process. We live in a microwave society where we want things to happen like this, like this, like this, like this. But growth requires a process, and growth requires some bumps and some bruises. And growth comes with some slaps across the face. It comes with some skin up knees. It comes with having to keep a box of Band-Aids around because we're going to have to clean up and scrape off some things and bandage them up for a little while and see who we can count on and to build our support systems. Then we can start to unravel some of those layers. So when we are trying to look for hope, for courage, we want to listen to ourselves, listen to that voice, right? Because our voice on the inside is going to give us some direction. And when the voices from the inside are giving us those negative messages, remember those are the things that we have to block out. We talked about those eviction papers on Thursday, right? So they're going to come fast and furious, and we have to be ready, right? So we want to listen to the voice that we have inside, and we want to be able to ask ourselves questions. Ask ourselves questions. So if we're struggling with things, we want to be able to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, why am I in this place? What is meaningful? Where can I find meaning? And look at the new possibilities and take our time. Take our time with the process and not try to rush it. Because when we're rushing things, it may give an immediate or short-term gratification, but in the long term, we're going to find ourselves back in that place faster, and because we haven't really developed all the skills that we need to get ourselves from that spot, we may become stuck again. So when you're building up courage, give yourself some space and don't be afraid to reach out to others, and know that the only thing that you're responsible for in the process of looking for courage, you're responsible for your words, for your behaviors, for your action, for your efforts, for your ideas, for creating your boundaries, for establishing your healing, your mistakes, and any consequences that occur as this individual, just as this grieving process this individual. And what it may take for me to build courage may look different for what it takes for you to build courage. Dr. Brown, any feedback?
No, I think, but I don't think, I enjoyed that portion, and I'm sorry I was distracted because I got a couple of other emails. To put it in a nutshell, thank you for sharing that piece of courage, and I'm going to give something that I think folks need to also hear as you share the definition, which is being bold, being brave, fearless, gallant, great-hearted, gutsy, gutty, heroic, heroical, intrepid. If we can be associated with any of those, I think that would be appropriate. And when we dealing with ourselves, that's one of the most gutsiest moves that one would ever have to go through. Because we can argue ourselves, and people say, well, people don't talk to themselves. Yes, we do. It's more internal because we don't want to embarrass ourselves or wind up getting locked up for being considered possibly crazy. But there's another phase on this email that I'm going to share with you because two people wrote the same thing.
Okay, Dr. Brown, before you do that real quick, I was just reminded of where I had to face and feel courage this week.
Ooh, go ahead.
With this situation. So I've been waiting for my brother's marker to arrive. And I've been knowing that it's in process and process. So I got the call to say that it was here. And at first I thought, oh, well, you know, that might be good to take mom to let her watch this process. And as it got closer, my own anxiety built up. And I start thinking, is that really going to be a good idea? And then what if it doesn't happen? You know, what if I prepare her and then get there and it didn't happen? So I didn't tell her the day that it was supposed to happen. So now I had to build up the courage myself to go investigate, right? Because my sister and I are in very different places when it comes to this journey. And she was just like, I don't want to be there. I don't want to go. So now I had to have that conversation with myself. If I don't do it, then who's going to do it and how will we ever know? So I wrestled with that thing all week. And I'm like, I was forced to have the courage. I was forced to face it. But what it did for me, once I got there and saw, okay, it has happened, there was a certain release and relief that took place. Because of how it looked, and I shared it with my son, and he met me there. And so to have that support there, remember, courage takes not only you being able to do it, but having someone there. He was there with me. And so now that was like, okay, now I can share with mom, but I'm still thinking, dang, how is she going to receive this? How is she going to receive this? And I'm thinking all these things that's going to be challenging for her. And I had to get that thought right. I had to get that thought in eviction papers. Well, you don't know how she's going to respond. And so now I've had to build up the courage because now we're going to be back in that place again tomorrow. So she's asked to be surrounded by some of his friends and some, you know, people who were dear to him. And so now I've got to build up that courage again to now take this group of people to this event. And so courage is something that in grief and loss at different points along the way, you're going to have it and you're not going to have it. But I had to give myself and talk myself into that courage because it wasn't just about me. It was about my mom, about my sister, about the others who want to be able to go and have a place to commune when they go visit. Dr. Brown.
Wow, that was very revealing. I salute you on the courage that it took to share that. Our email from our other two folks who just wrote in, and that was flashbksllc@gmail.com, was it relates to the embarrassment or shame of taking part in groups or workshops. And if you could address that, I think that may help some of our folks who may feel more comfortable or uncomfortable staying behind the microphone or the phone instead of reaching out and saying, you know what, let me see what this help is going to be all about. Some people don't like being in focus groups. They don't even like one-on-ones. But we know, unfortunately, sometimes our friend and our family can only take you so far on your journey for growth. Can you address that, Doctor?
Let me understand it right. They're embarrassed to be in group settings, right? Embarrassed to be in a group. Embarrassed to do, and oftentimes they are, right? So I offer this. They're not embarrassed to go to the shop and get our hair done and everyone sees our nappy hair before it becomes beautiful. We're not embarrassed to go get our feet and our nails done when they're all chipped up and broke and people, and then we come out beautiful. We're not embarrassed to go shopping and spend a bunch of, you know, spend a bunch of money on things that we shouldn't be spending money on. But then when it comes to our inner being and our personal development, then we get embarrassed. But what a group setting offers is that you're not alone because you're in there with like-minded people. You're in a space where others are probably having that same feeling. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Why am I here? All these people are looking at me. But I offer you that that's where you can get more support. And oftentimes, group settings are not for everyone. Sometimes individuals is not for people initially. And so I am very intentional about my approach and when I am holding that space. So I'm intentional about not having it appear as if you're in some therapeutic setting. That's why it's called coaching, because you are really the one that's driving the train, and I'm supporting you as you're driving the train to your own personal development and your healing. That happens the same in the workshops. I'm just setting the guidelines, and you're doing the work. So you're building your own state of comfort. You're building your own sense of being and being comfort with that. So I'm very aware of emotions that people can have when they come into a group setting. But I offer that take those blinders off of our mind. And just do a slight shift, have a different, a little shift in the way that you're seeing it, and look at it as an opportunity that, hey, I'm with like-minded people. I'm not in this by myself. And then you're creating a different type of support system that you have on the outside, and it becomes a more intimate setting.
Wow, what an example. As I've been told, Saturday is industry day for the hair industry as it relates, I guess, more so to cosmetology or women. I don't know. As we go to the barbershop whenever, I guess, we feel like it. We don't have to do appointments and all that, and we're not necessarily embarrassed on how we look. And most women, obviously, they get past that shame because they have the courage. And they know that there should be a desirable outcome, and most of the time it will be favorable. But I just thought that that was a pretty good analogy. The two folks that also brought up another question, we're going to save that for next Thursday because it's going to take some more of Dr. Clark's insight. And we took up most of the day throwing our participants' titles, and naturally Dr. Clark was able to facilitate us. But now it's time to go ahead and wrap this up, reminding you folks that this is brought to you by Flashback Academy. Find out more by writing us at flashbksllc@gmail.com. And for you veterans who know that we have brothers and sisters who are on the street who help fight for this country. We calling on y'all. We got one more mission. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's build Flashback and not wait for others to do it, because we all know too often we're either afraid or we get too comfortable in our own little groove, even though we're passing people on the street. I don't know about you, but I get very uncomfortable to just pass somebody on the street. I know I can't help everybody. I had a mentor, Dr. William Krigler, who used to remind me, you can't save the world, but I can one at a time. It reminds me when I was in Washington, D.C., receiving an award for some community work that we had done. This is not a bragging testimony, ladies and gentlemen, but I want to tell you what happened. President Obama at the time said, so what are you going to do next when you get back home? Because you cannot depend on me to fix the things that are going on in your community. It's time for you to step up and do more, not necessarily less. Give your life a cause and a reason. And those of you who are in pain, no matter what you're going through, there's a reason why you're still here, because the Lord did not have to wake you up today. So I'm sure that there was a purpose, and it's up to you to find it. So, Dr. Clark, go ahead and take us home, and thank you again for this inspiring, thought-provoking conversation.
Breathe in, just exhale, do that one more time. If I'm full of grief, expressing it will empty me out. The capacity to experience emptiness will allow me to begin to fill up with life again. As I begin to fill up, I need caring people to continue to support and understand me. Until next time, give yourself room to grieve. Have a good day.
Wow. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, 8 o'clock Thursday, tune in. And those of you who have questions, we're going to dedicate this to our folks who communicate with us, and I'm going to give priority for those who want to call in. And that number will be 319-527-6090.
Did it all mean nothing? We talked all night. Did it all mean nothing? Was it just you one? Did it all mean nothing? Did you waste your time? Did it all mean nothing?